Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Show is back. Nick Wilson on Afternoon Drive. Happy Thursday, Cleveland. We got Macaroni Baloney Mac Robinson on the board. We got that sweet young fang, Jax Gregory, behind the glass on the 20s. It's Meredith Kane. And across from me, as we get you ready for Browns v. Eagles, the last road game in this insipid three-game road trip that has been boots to asses for the Browns. Oh, yeah, we also got to get you ready for Guardians-Tigers game 4. Winner die time for the Guardians. That's coming up tonight at 6:08. No pressure, just everything riding on today's game. Maybe the future of the Guardians. Who knows? Let's get crazy on this one. But across from me, my co-captain for today, all aboard, it's Spencer German, the Germanator.
For a second, I thought when you said that sweet young thing, I thought I was like looking around like, is he talking about me? Am I that sweet young thing?
You're not really young anymore.
I'm not that young anymore.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
You look young, which is good.
That is what I get. I get told that a lot.
I would just go with that, because I went from looking young to looking 70. And it's happened somewhere between 25 and 38 where I just look hit. I just look cooked.
If I had a dollar for every time somebody at the station like found out how old I was, and that, like, there's been enough people. I think Jax actually was one of them. Where they found out how old I was, and that I have like a wife and a child at home, and they were like, "What?" They're like, "You have a wife and a child? Like you? I thought you were like in your mid-20s." I was like, "No, I've been around for a little bit."
So just to be clear, you're not actually young, and you're actually lying about your age. Like there was a time Ken never lied about his age, but there was a time where Ken wouldn't address his age on air.
Why?
I think it's because he didn't want to give away the fact he was young, because I think when you age yourself, when you're young,
people think like you don't know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah.
he thought it hurt his credibility to talk about like the 90s Guardians teams if he was only in his mid-20s.
Yeah, and honestly, Indians, it whatever. Just saves you the you're young, you don't know what you're talking about thing that happens. And I don't think he's done it. I mean, I'm talking about like when we were like 26, 27 when the station started.
The audience has adjusted since then.
Can you believe that? I was like 26 when the station started. I'm old now. I got a kid that's 4.5 years away from graduating high school.
That is kind of crazy.
I think I just died a little bit. I think I suddenly feel it's like taking me back to yesterday at like 5:45, watching the Tigers close out Game 3 victory. Like, that's how I feel right now, but about my own mortality.
Realize
in real
time. Your daughter's about to graduate high school in 4.5
Well, and that when we started this, I was in my prime. When we started this, I had a bright future, and somehow I'm here. It's good. There were other realities. If we get to the parallel universes, there were other places where we're not this successful. But I just thought, you never know. This is. I ended up in the middle. Here we are. I
wonder which multiverse Nick would be. I'm just curious, like, for some, what some of your multiverse personalities are doing right now.
I don't think they're very much different. I think I was always destined to be a smartass. I think I was always destined to probably be like 10% workaholic. It's like 50% workaholic. And I was always destined to knock a pretty girl up.
Were you always destined to be a radio show host? Like,
do you think
the variations of you are doing radio?
Yeah.
Might not be sports, but they're doing radio in some capacity.
I mean, I think it's sports radio specifically. You understand, like, when I was 12, my dad worked at WRRO in Warren, which at the time, Talk of the Valley, what up? But, like, it was him, Daryl was there, Dan McDowell, who's in Dallas, was there, Dave Denholm, who's with the LAFC and lives in town, he was there, Eric Boland of Yankees beat reporter. It was, like, this ridiculous, AJ Aggressive, ridiculous station. And, like, my reward for going to school and doing well was that my dad would wake me up when he was on the morning show and once every 3 months take me in to the show, where they just give me a three liter of cola, like it was because it was the cheap off brand stuff, and I'd go like for like 10 minutes hard on sports because I love sports talk, and then I'd power down because you shouldn't wake up at like 3 a.m. if you're like a 12-year-old kid, and then like I'd just drink some cola and I'd be right back there. So like that was the moment that it was decided. So the only way, if we go back in our origin story, the only way to avoid Nick doing this is if we don't do those shows, because that's when the sickness got me.
Does Nick Wilson still run on sports talk and a giant liter, 3 liters of cola?
Oh, I thought you were just going to end it with, does Nick Wilson still run? Because the answer's no. We've cut out the
Nick
cola.
Nick Wilson, powered by cola and crazy sports talk takes, like bring on the Tigers.
But we don't run on the cola anymore, but we do run on general manic energy, which I think is probably just the cola infused into my brain. Now instead of cola, it's coffee. So we obviously have a lot to get to today, bud, but I want to start with the Guardians because I'm having trouble with this. I think I know which way I'm leaning, but I was thinking about this. You and I, we did our pre-show today at like 10 a.m. as you're on your way to Berea. And as I was venturing out in the world, kind of doing my Gumpian kind of journey around Northeast Ohio before I made my move here, one of the things that popped into my head thinking about yesterday's game and replaying how the last two losses have gone is this question. And I'm going to frame it like a statement because I'm pretty sure I know what I believe here. But I'm going to frame it like a question. Are the Tigers beating the Guardians or are the Guardians more beating themselves in the series?
I think it's the Tigers beating the Guardians. I mean, I think to your point on beating themselves, I think the one element I look at and say there's some of that is where I thought Stephen Vogt yesterday played right into AJ Hinch's hand, which has been obviously talked about over the last almost 24 hours now since the game went final, that every step of the way where he was making a pitching change, Stephen Vogt was like, okay, time to get a pinch hitter in here and maybe jump the gun on some of those. I didn't hate all of them at the time. I mean, John Kenzie, I get why you bring him in. So I didn't necessarily think at the time it was terrible, but then you look back at how the game played out and you were like, he really did just take the bait on all these. That's the one area where I look and I say like, maybe he's getting beaten and they're beating themselves in that way. But I do think a lot of this is just about the Tigers playing really, really good baseball and, being the hottest team that they were coming into the playoffs. And I mean, there was a lot said about we know how much has been said about the Guardians bullpen being really good. That Tigers bullpen, I think, is an underrated element of this team. Everyone talks about Skubal and how great he is and how he's going to be the Cy Young winner. And AJ Hinch and the math that he has to do to sort of get through a game every single day. But I do think that bullpen has done a tremendous job, as has the Guardians bullpen, of kind of limiting damage, of just keeping the Guardians bats at bay.
So it's not that I dispute the Tigers bullpen's really good, and it's not that I dispute. I mean, I think AJ Hinch has The first two games I actually think are a bit of a wash, but specifically yesterday, Stephen Vogt got. And there's just no other way around that with kind of baiting him into putting the lineup lefty heavy. And then, I mean, he pivoted right out of that. Here's the problem, though. The second guy out of the pen yesterday gave you plenty of chances. You got plenty of hits yesterday. You got plenty of opportunities. The problem is situationally, you're playing like crap. And I kind of screamed about this in the 6 o'clock hour post game yesterday of it's like that game was there for you to win. And if in any of those moments, and listen, the David Fry thing, guys, it was a great hit ball, 80% probability to go into left field and score you at least one run, which changes the pressure in that game and takes the crowd out of it immediately. But there were multiple times. I mean, Hosey coming up, what was that, the third inning where Hosey's got multiple guys on and he gets, he finally gets his fastball on the outside of the plate and he tries to swing it over the fence instead of just pushing it the other way. Like, my problem is, like, the Tigers are beating you at your own game offensively. And that's what I think is frustrating. The Tigers are doing all the little things, moving guys over, trying to be mindful of you don't need to win the game, you know, one home run at a time. You need to win it one hit at a time. And I think the Guardians hitters are, it's not August bad. It's not, because you are getting guys on base. But it just feels like they need to recalibrate, because I think you're giving so many runs or so many potential runs away. And yes, the Tigers bullpen deserves credit for not giving you those big home runs. But that's why, like, the Tigers pitchers are basically just saying, we'll let you nickel and dime us. You're not going to get the big home run in Detroit's park. And the Guardians are saying, no, we're going to try and get the big home run.
Yeah.
So that's where, like, the Vogt thing is, that's one game. In three games, you've scored so little runs because your approach is too pressurized. You're trying to do it all at once instead of just playing your damn game.
See, but I think the offense being inept, you can go back to game two and say that was part of it in game two, obviously, as well. When you don't score any runs, you're going to lose. But I think more so, like, what you're describing, the pressing where Jose's coming up and he feels like he has to swing for the fences. I think there's reasons for that. You know, we are the morning show this morning. Others since the game yesterday have talked about the idea that, like, Jose has to be, as the heart and soul of this team and this lineup, he has to be the guy coming to the plate and delivering for you. I think he is feeling that. I think he's going up and he's understanding, like, I got to get going. A home run's going to change the game, and that's unlike him. So I do think on some level there's some of that. By the
way, that's not unlike him. I think we've seen that a lot in the second half. He didn't struggle with the way others, specifically Kwan and Naylor, did. I think we've been sleeping on the fact that Jose's been a little too homer hungry in the second half of the season.
But to your point, like, just like how the Vogt thing was one game, I think yesterday was the game where you really saw they were just trying to swing for the fences and do too much. I still felt like in the Scooble game in game two, they were trying to produce the runs, and then they just weren't getting those hits in the key spots because Scooble was keeping your bats at bay, which is why I go back to my point that between Scooble, between how their bullpen has kind of been managed and the way that Hinch kind of deploys those guys, I do think it's more about what the Tigers are doing and less about what the Guardians are doing. But I do think, to your point, there are signs that Jose is pressing, that Naylor is pressing. And when those two guys aren't hitting, because Kwan's getting on base.
Yeah.
He's doing the thing that we said at the beginning of the series he has to do. It starts with him. If he gets on base, everything else should sort of flow and be good because you got somebody in scoring position that can score and get you on the board. It's just that middle of the order, both those guys are struggling mightily, and they're not doing what they did during the regular season for larger stretches of the season.
Well, and I also would like to see them be a little less trigger-happy on the two-hitter, because I just think there's something to be said about making sure you've got the right two-hitter in between Kwan and Jose so you can get some momentum going. 216-474-0092. I want to hear from you guys today. Is this series more on the manager to this point or on the players? We got plenty to get to before Game 4 tonight in Detroit, 6:10 at 6:08 first pitch. But Darryl Ryder joins us coming up at 3. Usually joins us on a hump day, but today he joins us to kind of follow up on what he heard out of Berea today, get you ready for the Eagles game. We got Pete Futek college football news every single Thursday at 4 p.m. there. We're going to get into Ohio State, Oregon, huge game. this weekend and what could be a telltale sign for both teams' playoff hopes. We got a big game preview. Ben Standig, Cody Rourke, and others coming up at 6 p.m. today, taking a look at the big games in the NFL this weekend. But as we get started, is this series more on the manager or more on the players? More on that in our Feelings on Stephen Vogt next on 92.3 The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Spencer German, the Germanator, back on Afternoon Drive. All right. So there was a lot. That was actually a great answer by Stephen Vogt about kind of giving players their own ability. We don't tell them how to approach at-bats, which, by the way, I do think is smart. I think Tito and, you know, the previous regime, when I say his coaching staff, even though Vlake is still here, I do think sometimes they kept trying to force everybody into, like, hey, this is how we do it. And
this is Guardians baseball,
yeah,
right?
And listen, when it worked, I think you saw that in 2022. I think you kind of saw the opposite last year, where I think that nickel and dime approach, because you had so many things go wrong, the pitching staff getting hurt, the bullpen getting blown out, there were so many things, the just absolute stagnant bottom of the lineup, that I think you saw the hitters really start to lose that focus and that approach. I kind of think the reverse is happening, that all right, the theory is we want to go up there and it's okay if we search for home runs. Well, if all of a sudden you're starting to feel the pressure to produce, which is what I think happened in July and then peaked in August, you're going to get out of the right rhythm of chasing pitches to hit home runs and just taking what the pitcher's giving you. And I think it's too one-sided right now. And so, you know, like yesterday, I think because of the clear thing that AJ Hinch just gotcha. I don't buy Stephenville was like, we knew they were going to do that. So that's what, no, I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah.
Because I think you would have built the lineup just a little bit different. I think maybe that's a little bit of Stephen's, I don't want to say ego talking, but not wanting to admit you got got. But to me, this is about the players. And this is about Hosey. This is about Naylor. This is about even Lane Thomas a little bit. It's certainly about David Fry. This is a game where if you go out there trying to win the game in a gigantic ballpark all by yourself, you're just going to rinse and repeat and you're going to be going home. And then and the season's over.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with you that it is more about the players in that regard because...
Did you flip-flop?
No, because that wasn't the question you asked at the beginning. The question you asked at the beginning was, are they beating themselves or is it about the Tigers? I said I think it's more about the Tigers. Now you're asking me, is it about the players or Stephen Vogt? I think it's more about the players performing.
Okay. Thank you for the
question. Those are two very different questions.
Continue on there.
Just making sure. We're all on the same page here. At the end of the day, like if you don't score runs, like you're going to lose like that. And I think to your point, Nick, on when things were teetering during the summer months and they were in the slump that they were in, the difference is like in 162 game season, that stuff's going to happen and you have time to work it out. But like in the playoffs, you're talking about like, depending on how long you last, if you get to the World Series, you're talking about maybe like 30 to 35 at bats, right? Like throughout the entirety of the postseason. That's not a large, like, you can take any chunk of 35 at-bats from somebody's career at any point during the season, and it might be like, hey, they were hot for 10 games, and then for 20 games, they were miserable, and then for 5, they got hot. Like, that's the crazy part about all this is, like, we put so much pressure on guys performing this time of year, and they know they have to perform. A guy like Jose knows that he is the heart and soul of that lineup, has to come up to the plate and try to drive in runs. And so you start thinking about like, well, I don't have a lot of time to get this right, so I just got to try to hit one out and make a big play for my team. You can't think that way. You just have to go back to the basics, and you just have to go back to being able to function the way that we've seen this team function before when it comes to scoring runs, which is you got to sometimes just manufacture them. You can't swing for the fences because they don't have largely those power bats outside of Jose and Josh Naylor. And when they're not hitting, we know this team's going to have some troubles.
216-474-0092. I also put up a Twitter poll, at Nick Wilson Says, which you guys can go ahead and vote here. The Guardians trailing 2-1 in this Tiger series is more on the players or Stephen Vogt. 86% of voters right now saying it's on the players. And listen, it seems, if you just think it's about approach, it is a gross oversimplification. Because Guardians hitters are also dealing with two other factors that I think are kind of inflaming the fact that it does feel like we're swinging out of our shoes a little much. One, the strike zone inaccuracy. Now, that shouldn't swing a series. It just shouldn't. Even in a small sample size, even in a five-game series as opposed to a seven, like both teams I think are equally getting gypped here. But if you're already struggling with your approach, and now you have an umpire that is not consistently calling a game or umpires not, all of a sudden that's going to throw you more out of whack. And here's the third thing.
But happens, like that's so frequent though in baseball. So, but like you get bad umpires on any given night during the season.
Well, yes, but when it happens, it matters. Like, because I think
that is true.
Because I think
especially
the third
against
part
small
this,
sample size in the playoffs, yeah, that's fair.
Because I think the third part of this is hard hit balls. The Guardians actually have considerably more hard hit balls than the Tigers do. So it really is trying to run a wheel that all three spokes are busted on. It is your approach is a little cattywampus. It is the strike zone is not consistent enough, and everybody agrees on that. Even Tigers fans agree because again, they're kind of equally getting gypped here, and then you're just not having good luck when it comes to hard hit balls. Those three things, that's what makes it so impossible to get everything to line up perfectly. If one of those things falls by the wayside, all of a sudden you might get a little bit more leeway offensively.
Can I ask you this? So
you may.
Given how this series has gone, and given like yesterday, it was a lot. The poll you said 86% of the people are saying it's mostly the players more so than the manager. And I think that's probably fair. But we all consensusly agree that yesterday, Vogt got outmanaged. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. if he has another game today where he maybe pulls the plug on somebody too soon, and I mean, and if we can even take this back to game two, honestly, because there was people sort of criticizing Vogt. I didn't blame him for this, because if you're going to go down, you're going to go down swinging with your best player. I thought it was fine that he tried to get a four-out save with Emmanuel Clase, and he trusted him through that ninth inning, even though it didn't work out. But there were people who were saying, like, well, maybe he should have left Gattison a little bit longer and then gone to Clase in the ninth. Or saying, once Clase got a couple guys on, he should have pulled him and gone to somebody else. Like, so you can even take it back to that game. But game two, how it ended last night with his errors that were sort of saying, and if we get a third game today where he makes one bad decision, and in the playoffs, we look at these things in a microscope. We love to, like, overanalyze. We do that during the regular season, too, but especially this time of year. Will you feel differently at all about Stephen Vogt, like his first year as manager, or like him as a manager for this franchise, if they lose this series today, given that they went in as the favorite, you felt really good about it, Vogt was this mastermind guy, and it just didn't work out this time of year? Or will it not really taint much of his sort of first year legacy for you?
No, it won't. He still had a really good season, and in the end, I think really great managers and really aggressive managers can kind of slim your margin a little bit,
yeah,
and help you on the margins. But at the end, it's players. It's Jose. It's Tanner Bibee. It's Emmanuel Clase. It's, you know, and in a way, like, listen, if you lost game two because Emmanuel Clase, and let's say conservatively a fair amount of yesterday falls on Jose Ramirez, and let's say today is about either Jose, Clase, Bibee, Kwan, Naylor, well, those are the horses that got you here. So if those are going to be the reasons you lose, and them not showing up, how can you put that on the manager, right? Yeah. Even if the manager, again, even if there are things we can point to and go that, but no, I mean, it will dim some people's estimation of Stephen Vogt. It will not dim mine.
So I actually think the easier thing, I honestly think people would bypass Vogt criticizing him. And to even take it a step further, like, I think number one, when you're assessing blame, if they lose today, even if they lose in game five, I think this could happen. But if, you know, they lose this series, whatever, I think, like, the first place people will look is the players, like we are sort of alluding to. I actually think people would even bypass Vogt and go to the blanket thing that they always do, which is, I blame ownership, management, whatever, for either A, not doing more during the season to bolster this lineup, or B, just not spending enough money to make the roster better around guys like Jose Ramirez. Because when Jose had his best postseason, it was 2016. It was when he had the protection of guys like Lindor that were, and then the year after that, Edwin Encarnacion, who were able to kind of help him, you know, see worse pitches because they knew they couldn't pitch around him, and then he was able to take advantage of that. So I actually think, like, Vogt is probably pretty low on the list. And I think, and maybe some of that is it's his first year, and generally people were happy with the way he did, so he gets a little bit of a pass there, even if the playoffs don't go well. But yeah, like, I think he's pretty low on the list in terms of how people will view this team in this season if they lose and he's maybe part of the equation.
I think it'll be wildly disingenuous if you go to the Dolans is cheap, or if you go to Chernetti aren't good at their jobs. Honestly, even if you go to screw Stephen Vogt. This season has been an incredible season. People lose in the playoffs. I just think that I think there is a disease that has infected Guardians discourse. That is that I don't think we do. I mean, I like, to the level of success they've had. I know we do this with the Browns. While the Browns haven't had a lot of success, even in the last 4 years, it's been 50-50 whether they make the playoffs and have a chance to win a playoff game or not. But specific to the Guardians, they are, since 2016, they're one of the four winningest teams in baseball. And I know they have not won the World Series yet. And it feels like this year is the year where if you can get past the Tigers, and I know the Yankees are ahead of you, but the Mets, Padres, beatable. The Yankees, as you're seeing in this Royals Series, they are beatable. Like, there is no Leviathan here. So that adds pressure to it. And big picture, we probably should look at this and go, man, I wish baseball could fix the economic situation, or I wish you had an owner willing to invest more here. Those are fair things to say. But if that's your reaction to if the Guardians lose this series, Well, you're just a bitter fan just saying things. I just don't think that has any discourse because you're completely discrediting the players and the manager and the front office. I don't think look around baseball. I know the Royals, this is a winning season for the first time and since I think they won the World Series, like a good season. Like, there are so many different, the Padres. Well, the Padres don't have anybody to contend with. So, like, this Guardians team, this organization, this is working. Yep, you need one more hitter. Congrats, you just described half of baseball. But, you need one more starting pitcher. You just described half of baseball.
My only problem is, and I agree with you that I hate going to like the low-hanging fruit thing of like, well, they just don't spend enough. And we know it's never going to happen in this market, so we just kind of have to live with it anyway. But the one thing I'll say is like, I can understand where fans would be frustrated and take it to that level because of the fact that like, yes, you're right. The Guardians have exceeded, or basically they are the gold standard for what it looks like to be a small market team and still be competitive and never really be out of the mix when it comes to like winning the division, competing for the playoffs, all those things. But what have they not done? They have not finished that ultimate goal of winning a World Series. And part of that is, what wins this time of year? It's the thing that Jose Ramirez is trying to do. It's the guys that can provide. The Yankees last night, that game changes because they have three guys that at any time can mash one over the wall. Power wins you this time of year on top of good pitching. Now, I don't blame them so much for the pitching thing because they thought they would have Tristan McKenzie. They thought they'd have Shane Bieber. You can't account for the injury thing. But like in terms of going to add bats that help you, because like, the blueprint is out there. You know that that's what wins this time of year. And they've tried to win the way that they're trying to win this year, which is like manufacture runs before and come up short. That's my only thing. The year they came closest was the year they had power. Am I right?
But what you're saying, but this is where I think people get it wrong. The problem is not you don't go out and trade for Judge or Soto or like, yeah, that'd be great. No, the problem is you're not developing hitters and you're seeing it now. Like if Will Brennan, Manzardo, Angel Martinez, previously guys like Will Brenson, Nolan Jones, if any of those guys had stepped up and been a bigger cog in this machine, you've taken swings in player development. You're never. I know it sucks. I miss the hot stove days of Randy Johnson maybe getting traded here and Pedro maybe getting traded here. I miss that. Kenny Lofton being turned into Marquise Grissom and David Justice. I miss it. It ain't coming back right now. It's not coming back. Your best way is to develop hitters, and they have done that poorly. That's such a bigger indictment on the way this thing is built than, well, the Dolans don't spend any money. Because you know who doesn't have a problem with this? The Rays, who just traded a couple good hitters at the deadline and replaced them with better young prospects, one of whom you traded away. Junior Caminero.
I was laughing, by the way, because as we're having this conversation about not having enough power in the lineup, they're playing a replay of the Phillies-Mets game last night, and it was literally when Francisco Lindor hit a grand slam.
216.
Just the irony of that.
474-0092. If the Guardians lose this series, does it change how you feel about Vogt as a manager? Don in Cleveland, stick there. That and a record-setting night on 92.3 The Fan. And as we will be talking with Daryl here shortly, just a reminder, guys, Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin break down all the latest news with the Browns on and off the field during the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast, including post-game drops. Always be on the lookout for that. Subscribe to this fine podcast at 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast, sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. I almost said Sons of the Shoe. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Follow it wherever you get your podcast. So we're having this conversation about whether this series can kind of change your perspective on Stephen Vogt. And there is a part of me that thinks if the answer is yes, you're just looking for things to bitch about going into next season, or you're just maybe informing your cynicism about maybe the front office, maybe the way things are run by the Dolans, and try to push it somewhere. Guys, it's really okay if they lose this series. One, I'm not going into tonight being all defeatist, by the way, so I don't know where the hell that's coming from, because I know how much yesterday sucked. Today's a new day. You get another crack at it. But I just think this idea of, like, they weren't supposed to make the playoffs. So the idea that we could somehow get into the playoffs and be like, Vogt lost my... I've lost 10% confidence in a manager who had a team that everybody predicted to win 73 games.
Yeah, I mean, it would be astronomically stupid to just like base your entire perspective off of Stephen Vogt off of one playoff series when consensusly, like, the season he had and put together has been phenomenal. I mean, he's the fact that he has taken a team that, like you said, wasn't even supposed to be in the playoffs at all, win the division, have the success that they had, get out of the gate as hot as they did, weather a little bit of a storm there in late summer, and then set yourself up to be hosting this series. Like, I think that speaks for itself. It's not that he gets a pass, because anytime a manager, you know, everybody gets criticized based off how they perform this time of year, managers included. But like year one, I think you give the person or the player in some respects, I guess, some grace, because this is the first time he's going through this. Like, if it's the first time for somebody going through this, I mean, they're having the same conversation in a way with like Shohei Ohtani. They're like, it's his first postseason. If he's not like batting 500 and doing crazy things, like, it's okay. Like, he was just basically suffering in Anaheim for as long as he was. Let's give him some time. And I think the same thing sort of applies to Steven Vogt. I will say, though, I'm kind of surprised. The one thing I haven't heard, and maybe it happens if he gets outmanaged again today, but I haven't heard anybody really bring up Tito. I haven't heard anybody be like, oh, like, I felt like for a fan base that, like, we know, loves to go to the low-hanging fruit of, like, well, this organization, they just don't spend enough money. Surprised nobody's pointed out, like, well, Tito wouldn't have got outmanaged like that yesterday.
Probably because Tito hadn't been to a World Series since 2016 and has maybe not, I don't want to say overshot expectations.
Hold on a second.
What's that?
I'm not trying to say, like, you're wrong, but I'm, like, well, he hasn't been to a World Series in a very, very long time. So yeah.
If Tito had left in like 2018, series, it's a totally different conversation.
He's been to a World Series, though.
Well, no. But the point is, it's been a decade, almost a decade, since they've had that level of success with Tito. So I think we're far enough removed that people remember the disappointment of 2017 and 2018, and even the disappointment of 2022. So I think that's, when, in terms of postseason, yes, it was great to go to the World Series, but I think the fact that you haven't gone deep into the playoffs since you went to the World Series, I think does have some people looking at this. It's not cynically. I think they just kind of, it takes a little bit off that fastball.
Well, and here's what I'll say. It's different because when you have a manager that's gone to the World Series, anything short of a World Series appearance is a disappointment. With Vogt, we love thinking that things in sports are going to be linear, and it's just going to, like, be this steady progress. Like, your team loses in the playoffs or something, and you're always like, it's okay, they'll be back next year, and they'll go deeper next time. I promise you. And then it doesn't actually work out that way. So
I actually think with this Guardians team, I think we go the opposite way now. I think they're going to be completely garbage
next year?
Well, not necessarily garbage, but I think after 2022, I think people realize the importance of, if you have a chance to make a run, you need to make a run.
That goes back to, like, me at the deadline being as emphatic as I was that they needed to do more or whatever. But, like,
one more person mentions deadline in this Detroit series, I'm just going to lose my mind.
I have backed off that sense because I understand, like, the context of the situation. There wasn't a lot available. I get all that. But my larger point in that was, like, just that you have to go for it when you have an opportunity. Because, like you said, 2022, you saw that. But what I was going to say, though, was Tito, it felt like a disappointment because he'd been there. He'd been to the mountaintop and come up short. Versus, like, with Vogt, you're expecting that we can't get out of our heads that there's, like, this linear process to growth with teams. And so it's this idea of, like, well, hey, if they don't make it this year, like, Vogt's new. He's going to learn from this, and he's gonna take him all the way to the World Series next year. But it doesn't always work that way.
Rebecca on Twitter saying, I think we're beating ourselves. AJ Hinch might be in a better at chess. That said, in my opinion, it's on the players. They need to hit better. Real quick here, let's go with Anthony in Cleveland Heights. Real quick, buddy, we got about 42 seconds. What you got for us?
Okay, Vogt's not being outmanaged. You know, if you want, I hate this post hoc arguing that include the results of the game from yesterday. You know, if you really wanted to discern whether Vogt was mismanaged yesterday, you could look at the pitcher Hinch had to throw yesterday, and if it could have worked out like game one where Hinch's decision on who to throw depended on who he thought Vogt was going to put in the lineup, and that caused us to score five runs without getting an out recorded in game one. So if this is post hoc thinking that looks at the results of the game from yesterday, which the model said we had a better chance to win the Detroit, and saying Vogt stinks, that is incorrect. The players need to perform. And frankly, they did perform. The expected batting average of our team was better than Tiger yesterday. It's a loss. It happens. Relax.
Anthony, we appreciate you. Post hoc, I got to say. I like when somebody says post hoc. Daryl Ryder will be post hoc Anthony in Cleveland Heights. That's where he's calling. We'll get Daryl's thoughts on what he heard out of Berea today. And all those Deshaun and Kevin questions we've been talking about all damn week. Next on 92.3 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.